Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Michelle told the Democrats to stop, start over. She told them to kill the bill. And now it is Michelle who is leading the charge to replace this thing.
Sarah Palin on Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann. And Governor Palin will be one of the star speakers at the Southern Republican Leadership Conference opening today in New Orleans. How aggressively to work to actually repeal and replace it. She used that phrase that I think we're going to hear a lot, repeal and replace, is a question for the Republicans going into the election season. Republicans have some big uncertainties of their own going on. Ben Smith from Politico is back with us to talk about this, as is Michael Shearer, White House correspondent for Time. Hi, Ben. Hi, Michael. Thanks for coming on today.
Thanks, Brian.
Hey, Brian.
First of all, how big an event in the political scheme of things, Ben, is this Southern Republican Leadership Conference?
You know, it's not that big, but it's kind of the first or one of the first cattle calls for people running for president in 2012. It's a, you know, gathering of party activists and a chance for people to kind of signal their intentions, really, and to test the waters for presidential bids. It's particularly interesting because the two guys most clearly running for president, Mitt Romney and Tim Pawlenty, won't be there. And so I think at a moment when people are starting to say, oh, gosh, we need stronger candidates, I think there'll be a lot of people kind of looking around the corridors for somebody who could run for president.
The Republicans in Congress are completely unified, Michael. They've been voting unanimously against President Obama's major initiatives like the stimulus and health reform bills. Are they that unified nationwide in other ways? Are we going to see just complete tightness, you know, there in New Orleans today? Everybody's tight with everybody else, or are there divisions that are going to be on display?
Yeah, this conference is a relatively small deal, but it's coming at a really bad time for the party. The congressional recess that we're on should have been a time for Republicans to go home and do something like what they did in August of last year, which is rail against Democratic plans that are unpopular and drum up the sort of national concern over the direction of the country. Instead, we've had a recess dominated by this scandal at the RNC, which led to the departure of the chief of staff and, you know, lots of grumbling, you know, maybe not on the record, but pretty vocal grumbling among Republicans about, you know, what has been clear mismanagement there. And so, you know, there's going to be an attempt at this event to show a united front, to repurpose the discussion back onto the Democrats and their plans for the country in the 2010 and 2012 elections. But it's going to be tough. I don't know if the press is going to let them get off that easy. And I know that Republicans deep down are rather discouraged at this moment.
And listeners, Republicans especially, if you want to call in, we don't have a whole lot of time for this segment today. We have the Chief of Naval Operations, Gary Ruffhead, coming on in a few minutes. But we are talking about national politics and the Republican Party right now with some big questions out there to answer, including how aggressively to run against the health reform bill. So if you want to call in, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Ben Smith, what about how aggressively to run against the health reform law? President Obama has pretty much dared them to bring it on. So is it at all a question for Republican congressional candidates, or again, is it a completely unified set of talking points?
Well, you know, right now we're in primary season, and a lot of the most intense focus on Republican politics is in places like Florida, where there's a primary going on. And so to the extent that there's real heat inside Republican politics right now, it's people competing to be most against health care, most, you know, we're going to repeal it, we're going to sue. One of the attorneys general who's suing to repeal it is already up with a web ad touting how you should elect him governor because he's suing to repeal health care. I mean, as we move from the primary to the general election, I'm not sure they can kind of sustain this heat. It's among other things, going to have been a long time ago that health care passed. Nobody's liberty will have been taken away, you know, in the intervening several months. People will be talking about other stuff. It seems sort of hard to imagine a campaign run on a bill that passed what in political time is a long time ago.
And, Michael, they don't say repeal. They say repeal and replace. How specifically are they saying replace with what?
Not so specifically. I mean, there's disagreement within the Republican Party about exactly what to replace it with. And all of this is really a political message at this point, not really a legislative strategy. The actual chances of something like this happening outside the court process, which is also a long shot, without huge a change in power in November, are very, very slim. Like Ben said, the polls show that people didn't really understand this thing when it was going through. They really hated the process of legislating health care reform. Now that it's done, they still don't really understand it, and they don't really know what they think about it, and they're really upset at Washington, and they really are worried about the economy and their economic situation. And that's going to continue to be the case going into November. And while health care repeal and replace is a good base line, I think the president and the Democrats are right that it's not going to do much as a sort of overall general election strategy. I think Republicans will end up crafting a message by November that includes this as one small part of their overall message, but it won't be the dominant theme.
Yeah, and one big question that they have to answer is why, when Republicans controlled Congress all those years and President Bush was in office, they didn't do whatever things they say they would replace the health reform law with, or any other meaningful health reform that President Bush would have signed. Ben, do they have an answer to that question?
No, but I think I don't think they really politically have to. I think that that's certainly a logical and reasonable point. But I think what they learned last year was that when you're in opposition, you're not expected. When you're the opposition party, you're allowed to act like an opposition party, and to be and to be a check in the political system and to be a critic, and that's not necessarily gonna freak people out that you aren't advancing a positive agenda, which obviously would have no chance of passing. There's a real chance they retake Congress this year, and that situation would change totally if they do.
Ben Smith from Politico, Michael Shearer, Time Magazine White House correspondent, and Michael, since you're White House correspondent, I wonder if President Obama's people have had a chance to react to this yet. I saw a Fox News report today about a new Rasmussen poll finding 48% of voters said the average Tea Party activist is more aligned with their views on major issues than the president is. 44% said President Obama's views are closer to theirs. Have you seen that? And is there a White House reaction to that?
I haven't seen it, but the general White House reaction to Rasmussen polls is an eye roll, and that has something to do with the methodology this far out from a campaign. The biggest headlines tend to come through these Rasmussen polls, which are automatic dial polls, and tend to get people who are more motivated about politics sticking around on the phone to push their buttons. I think the White House perspective generally on the Tea Party is to promote the sort of loony or fringes of this movement as a way of characterizing and then dismissing it. You saw this yesterday when you led the show with a clip from the Bachman-Palin rally in Minnesota.
Right.
The DNC put out a video with sort of the lesser highlights of some of the things that Palin and Bachman have said. I mean, the idea of taking on the Tea Party is almost as exciting for, I think, a number of people in the White House as the idea of running against Dick Cheney in November.
It's remarkable how badly that's worked. They started doing this last summer during the health care reform, portraying these people. First, it was as inauthentic astroturf creatures of corporate America. This just totally flopped. They've now been, for really almost a year now, frantically sending out press releases about how these people are crazy. And it's not just Rasmussen. A lot of polls say that people will generally see Tea Party movement, whatever that is, as a positive thing, as basically a sympathetic thing. And it's a really interesting reversal of what the White House did during the campaign, which was to ignore brick thrown through windows, to ignore the most strident rhetoric, to have Obama say, no, I'm not hearing anything about race. The press is exaggerating these conflicts. The tactic now has been to exaggerate the freak show, to take any incident that seems that's, you know, any Tea Party incident that seems either racist or confrontational, and bring this very tight focus on that. But I'm not sure that doesn't wind up just rubbing off on Obama as well and on the White House as well. You know, he came with this message that he was going to be able to bring things together. He was going to be able to stop the freak show. And I think he winds up bearing some blame for this, for a really nasty tone, even if it's coming from his enemies.
Do you think we're going to hear this kind of thing this weekend from Democrats as the Republicans hold what they call their Southern Republican Leadership Conference in New Orleans? And the word Southern sometimes touches off a lot just by itself for a lot of Democrats. And Gail Collins' column in the New York Times today headlined "A Confederacy of Dunces." She writes, "If you live in Virginia, Confederate History Month. The state is buzzing over Governor Bob McDonnell's proclamation urging citizens to spend the month recalling Virginia's days as a member of the Confederate States of America." And she goes on to say later in the column, "The love affair with all things Confederate is worrisome. Once again, it's in to talk secession." So first of all, is it in to talk secession, Ben, and how do you think this plays out politically for either party?
It is in to talk secession. The 10th Amendment, there's been this sort of fringe 10th Amendment movement for years that is now really gaining steam, and it's this idea which really, as far as I can tell, has very little legal grounding, that states could nullify federal law. I mean, it's not a reasonable thing, but I think it's based on this idea that we don't like the people who are in the government right now and we're going to resist it. I think Southern history is something there's obviously secession is a deep strand in that. You see where they resonate together. The Confederacy is not what the Republican Party wants to be talking about right now. They're very interested in not being a rump Southern regional party. They've been regaining traction, particularly in the West, with people who have no warm feelings about the Confederacy, who see the Confederacy as the bad guys in the Civil War, and while nostalgia for elements of the Confederacy runs really deep in places that are very reliably Republican, it does not run deep in the places that they're trying to take this November.
We're almost out of time because I see that the Navy, gentlemen, has just tweeted. The Navy has an official Twitter feed, and the Navy has just tweeted, "Report to your radios and muster with Brian Lehrer on WNYC.
I can't compete with that.
Because the Chief of Naval Operations, Gary Roughhead, is standing by in our green room and ready to come in. But I'm going to take one caller from New Jersey identifying himself as an independent. Let him have a say and see how we would answer that Rasmussen question. Jamie in Ringwood, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jamie.
Good morning, Brian.
First, go ahead. Have your say.
Well, the first thing is, is the Democratic Party affiliated with the Black Panthers that was stopping the voting in Philadelphia? So you're making the Tea Party look bad.
Mm-hmm.
Is that part of the Democrats?
Is that part of the Republican Party in a similar way to how that might have been in the past? And so how would you answer the question, which is more aligned with your views on major issues, the Obama White House or the Tea Party?
I think the Tea Party is with the people I talk to. Everybody, they're not saying the Tea Party is the way to go, but they agree with what they're doing. What they're saying. They're saying that we're not being heard out here, and they're just ramming things through, and everybody's offended by it. Everybody's upset.
Jamie, thank you. And you know what? I'm going to let you get the last word in this segment. Please call us again as the election year continues, okay? And Ben Smith from Politico, Michael Shearer, Time Magazine, White House correspondent. Thank you both very much for coming on and talking some Republican politics with us today.
Thank you.
All right. And we are ready to report to our radios and muster with the Chief of Naval Operations, Admiral Gary Roughhead, in a minute. Stay with us.